Praise the Lord. Good morning. How's everyone doing? Good? Getting all your Christmas shopping done and everything you have to do? No? Oh, okay. Very secret. Well, it's time for us to worship the Lord. If you'd stand with me. You know, there is an opportunity for all of us to move beyond this natural thinking mindset that we're in worship. It's an opportunity for us to focus on the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. But it's up to us how we choose to enter into that. If we can just move beyond just singing a song and let our hearts connect with the Lord. Lord, that's what we choose to do today, Lord, is connect with you. We choose right now, Lord, to draw near to you. Your word says that you'll draw near to us. We choose, Lord, to move away from in our minds any of the distractions, any of the things that have been captivating us from your very best in our lives, Lord. We just move away from that right now. We choose to draw into you, Lord. Lord, you asked us to come to you if we were heavy weighted or burdened, Lord. If any of us are burdened today here, Lord, I pray that we would lay those burdens at your feet during worship. That we would let our hearts be fully prepared, Lord, to worship you, Lord, in purity and in truth. Lord, you're the one that is the giver of our life. You're the reason that we are standing here right now. You're the reason for breath in our lungs, Lord. And you'll be the reason, Lord, that we sing and praise you today. Oh, Lord, we choose you right now, Lord. We choose you right now in this moment. We choose to focus on you. And set our gaze on you. We know, Lord, that when we do that, Lord, you do the same for us. You're always looking at us, Lord, but there's a reality that comes to our hearts, Lord, of interaction and intimacy with you. So let that take place in this heart, in this life, in all of us today. In Jesus' name, amen.
'Cause I am an instrument of exaltation, and I was born to lift your name above all names. You hear the melody else is worthy. There is no one, only you, Jesus. Who else is worthy? Who else is worthy? There is no one, only you, Jesus. And you are desire is to know you deeper. Lord, I will open up again, throw my fears into the wind. I am desperate for touch of heaven.
Challenge you in your belief systems, challenge you in your thought processes. That's how he has his way in you. You open up your heart. Lord, we choose to open up our hearts today. We choose, Lord, to just remove any barriers, any obstacles, any hindrances, Lord, that are keeping you, Lord, from having your way in us now. Jesus, we open our hearts. We open our lives to you, Lord. Let us be an open book to you, Lord. Let us not be closed books, Lord. Let us be an open house to you, Lord, where you can come in freely and move and have any access that you want. Yes, Lord, do what only you can in our lives. We can't manufacture it. Only you can do it. We give you full permission, Lord. We give you reign, Lord, of this vessel as we open up our hearts to you right now. And Lord, let it not just be on a Sunday service, Lord, or in a time that we're just in some spiritual, religious mode. Lord, let us, our lives be an open book. Let our hearts be open to you 24/7. Enter signs, Lord, in the areas of our lives that we haven't given you access to. Jesus. Jesus. Let's do that one more time. Open up our hearts.
I open up my heart to you now.
Yes, Jesus. Have your way. Have your way, Lord. We choose your way today, Lord. Help us abandon our ways, Lord, and pick up your ways. Pick up your cross, the cross that you've given us, Lord, to follow you. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Take some time and greet someone. Love on them. We'll see you in a few minutes. Thank you, team. Okay, praise the Lord. Well, it's time for our declarations. If you would stand with me, let's declare this nice and loud. Declare it like you mean it, like you believe it, because your faith and your voice makes a difference in our city and our valley, in Jesus' name, right? All right, on three, let's start. One, two, three. Thank you, Lord, for what you are doing in the Yakima Valley right now. And today we declare that my city will be saved, that revival will sweep the streets of the Yakima Valley, that every business, big or small, will thrive, that the families in my city would have all their needs met. I declare that every politician in our city and state would have the wisdom of heaven, that you would use me in doing all of these things. And I declare that your will be done in the Yakima Valley as it is in heaven. Amen. Yes, Lord, we do. We declare over our valley, Lord, your purposes, your plans, your desires, Lord, for every heart and every life, Lord. Lord, we pray for families right now that will be gathering over this Christmas time, Lord. And we pray that as they gather, Lord, that you would be the reason for the season in their hearts. And if you aren't, Lord, that you would make them aware, Lord, that you were the one that came, Lord. And you didn't just come, Lord, to come to the world and just bring peace, but you came to bring peace to their life, Lord. You came to bring truth to their life, Father. I pray that the realities and the revelation of the Christmas, Lord, would fill the hearts of the people in the Yakima Valley. Fill our hearts, Lord, with a fresh understanding of what it means to be, Lord, your children, Lord, that you came for, Lord. I pray right now, God, that every person, God, that has you on their mind, Lord, would be a light during this time, Lord, that they would shine bright, Lord, with the testimony of Jesus, and that they would communicate not only with their words, Lord, but with their actions, with their devotion to you, Lord, that they would be one that would attract others. We thank you, Lord, that you're working, Lord, in the Yakima Valley beyond what we can see, hear, or even comprehend, Lord. And we thank you, God, that you're changing this place, Lord, to be more like your kingdom, God. We believe that. We declare that in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. We have a couple announcements. Well, I guess really one announcement. The offering is there every week, but the candlelight service. Hey, it's this coming. That's a Wednesday night, isn't it? 24th is Christmas Eve. And at 5 p.m., please join us here. It'll be a short service, but we'll get together. We'll sing some carols, and we have a special song that will be performed and shared with us. And we'll have, just the candlelighting service, which really helps us express the idea and the reason for the season. Amen. Bring somebody, invite family, especially those that maybe are alone this time of year. Help them, Lord, to just have the Lord's presence in their life, and maybe a fresh revelation, as I was praying, of Christmas. Amen. And then I want to thank everyone who gives to this house. We appreciate every single person that honors the Lord with their tithes and offerings, and you help keep the lights on and things moving, and praise God for that. If you want to give, you can give up front, you can give in the back, or you can even give online at onelifefamilyworship.com and click the give button. It's time for children's ministry. Would the children please come up? And I know we have quite a few today. They're ready to run, jump, and have a great time. They've been doing it all morning, so now you get to actually do it, and it's focused on you guys. Amen? Let's stretch our hands out to these young ones. Father, we thank you, Lord, for each and every life that's represented here. Lord, we thank you, God, that they are in your kingdom now, Lord, and they're working, Lord, in your kingdom. Even though they may not know it, Lord, we know that you're working in their hearts. You're working in their lives, Lord. You're putting, Lord, your plans and purposes and destiny inside of them. And we bless them right now in Jesus' name. We ask that today their hearts would be open to receive the word, that they would have a time to together in you. In Jesus' name, amen. And at this time, I am really blessed and excited to hear Pastor Eric share on the power of prayer. Amen.
All right, good morning. I don't know about you guys, but as excited as I am for Christmas, I don't quite feel ready for Christmas. But our family, we have a lot of different traditions that we do. And it's something that I love that we've really cultivated in our home is making sure that this time, and this is just an encouragement for everybody here, is that this time would be focused on family, but most importantly on Jesus. And it's really difficult to do. Like, I remember a couple years ago telling my wife, like, man, we're raising our family in the church, we're raising our family as Christians, yet every year it still feels like we're still falling trap to what the world says Christmas is about, and the gifts and all that stuff. And don't get me wrong, I love gifts. I love giving my family gifts, and I love receiving gifts and all that stuff. Also, when you pull back all the layers of Christmas, the one thing I want my family to remember is the importance of Jesus and him coming as a little baby to die for us, as a grown man. And so my hope and prayer is that we would be believers that don't fall victim to what society says we have to do for Christmas, but instead we'd actually be the example of what Christmas really is about. Amen. And so that has nothing to do with what I'm talking about. Pastor has been talking about prayer, this Power of Prayer series. And, you know, I think obviously prayer is good to talk about. Prayer is good to have a philosophy about it, to have a theology about it. But more important than that, prayer is important. It's important that we do it. So, In a moment here, I'm going to talk about some stats that I looked up, and it's just interesting to me that we can be a house of God and follow Jesus and go to church Sunday after Sunday. However, we can lack in a very, very vital area of our life, that being prayer. And so, I was doing some research as I was studying for my word last night, and I found this stat that I found kind of interesting. So PewResearch.org says more than 4 in 10 Americans report that they pray at least once a day, and an additional 23 say they pray weekly or a few times a month. Nearly one-third of U.S. adults seldom or never pray. Okay, so then that led me to thought, well, how many Christians Christians are there in America, and how they find these stats, who knows, obviously the surveys and all that stuff, but this is what my quick Google search found. It says around 2/3 of Americans identify as Christian, which that's good news, right? If that's actually true, that means our country is mostly Christian, which is a beautiful thing. With recent surveys from 2024 and 2025 showing figures between 62% and 69%. But here's the conclusion I come to, that if a majority of America claims to be Christian, yet there's still a very large amount of Christians that are not praying consistently, therefore missing a vital part in their walk with Jesus. I almost said this, that we can't live a life with Jesus without prayer. But the sad reality of it is that we can live a life with Jesus without prayer. And that's a sad reality because we can almost trick ourselves into thinking that I have this connection with God, yet I don't actually ever talk to him. I hear about him, right? I hear about, I listen to the music in the car. I go to the Sunday service. I take the notes. I do my small group. I do my Bible study, all these things. But this vital part in my walk with Christ is missing. And that is me communicating with him. And I would say even more importantly, me hearing him, because that's a very important part in prayer. There's a man named Ian Bounds. If you've never heard of him, I'd encourage you to look him up. And I also found in my research for my word today that all of his, or at least a good amount of his writings, are online for free on his website in a PDF form. It's really good. But I read a book or two by him. But there's this quote that I found by Ian Bounds. It says, "What the church needs today is not more machinery or better, not new organizations or more and novel methods, but men whom the Holy Ghost can use, men of prayer, men mighty in prayer. The Holy Ghost does not flow through methods, but through men. He does not come on machinery, but on men. He does not anoint plans, but men of prayer." The prayer meetings, conferences, the Sunday gathering, those are great, and we need to do those. We need to understand this, that if our life is not submerged in prayer and we're waiting for just that moment it's like people who go to the gym once every couple months and think, "I'm good," right? Like, sure, you went to the gym and that's awesome and your body got a little bit of workout that one time. Also, it's consistent going to the gym that makes a difference, right? It's consistent getting, you know, eating right and consistent paying attention to what you're doing with your body that makes a difference in your body. In the same way, in the spiritual, it's not just the one moment, the one method in which I pray, but it's actually creating these spaces to be with God. It's creating this personal time with God. Like, this is my time. I'm protecting this time with God. I'm going to make talking with God a priority. We can't get lost in the methods or the how-to that we end up doing nothing. When there's nothing happening in our prayer life, we can't be surprised when we experience nothing. And this is a conviction that I have in my heart, that it's impossible for nothing to happen when we pray. This is just something that we caught years ago, and something that we live by, that when we pray, when we are contending and we're praying for a breakthrough, we're praying for a healing, we're praying for financial breakthrough, we're praying for restoration, whatever the thing is, no matter how big the mountain is, we believe this, that when we pray, we're praying to a God that's going to make something happen. And I may not see it right here in this moment. I may not see it the next day. And sometimes I will, but there's still something happening, because that's the God that we serve. We serve a God that moves. Amen. Amen. So Nehemiah 1 says this in verse 1. It says, "In the month of Kislev, in the 20th year, while I was in the citadel of Susa, Hanani, one of my brothers, came from Judah with some other men. I questioned them about their Jewish remnant that had survived the exile, and also about Jerusalem. They said to me, 'Those who survived the exile and are back in the province are in great trouble and disgrace. The wall of Jerusalem is broken down, and its gates have been burned with fire.' When I heard these things, I sat down and wept. For some days, many days, I mourned, I fasted, and I prayed before the God of heaven." I mourned, I fasted, and I prayed before the God of heaven. How many of us in here, our response to trials, our response to tribulation in our life is to fast, to pray? How many of us in here is our knee-jerk reaction to life when life comes at us is to get with the Father, is to get close? The best place we can be is close to the Father, and we get close to the Father in prayer. Amen. I love church. I absolutely love gathering on a Sunday morning. I love that all over our city this morning, there are churches, many churches that are gathering multiple times for some churches. And also, I want to be very careful that I myself don't mistake this time that I gather with Jesus's people, with God's people. I don't mistake that this is the only place I can get close with the Lord. I want to make sure that I understand this, that my relationship with God is to be a close one, a connected one, an intimate one. And the only way I get there is by making intentional time with him, making sure that my heart is ready to receive him, which we're going to get into in a moment. So a heart of prayer isn't something you will magically obtain. You're not going to wake up. If you don't have a prayer life right now, and hear my heart in this, it's not to condemn anybody. It's more to challenge and to maybe stir something up inside of you. But if you don't have a prayer life right now, you're not going to wake up one day and magically just want to pray. That's not really how it works. It's something that you're going to have to do, and you're not always going to want to do it. So you're not going to magically obtain it. A heart of prayer comes from consistency, comes from grit, and it comes from endurance. A heart of prayer is having a love and desire to communicate with our Father. Today, the goal is to move the ball down the field in our prayer lives. Amen. Let me pray real quick. Father, we just thank you so much for who you are. We thank you for your peace, and we thank you, Lord, for the peace that surpasses all understanding. God, I just pray that as we engage in this word today, Lord, that your heart would be heard through this, God. I pray, Lord, that you would anoint these words, Lord, that I have to say, God. And I pray, Lord, that every person here, God, would have an open heart and open mind, God, to receive what you have for them, Lord. I thank you so much, Jesus, for this time that we get to gather. And I just pray, God, that we would be focused on you today, Jesus, and only you. Thank you, God, for your goodness and mercy. And I thank you, Jesus, that the Seahawks won last Thursday. In Jesus' name, all God's people said amen. Amen. So we can tell. Here's the crazy thing. I ask any one of you who works a full-time job, tell me what's going on at work, right? I feel like you'd have no problem telling me, oh, this is what's going on, or here's the drama of work, or here's what my boss has me doing, or here's the project that we're doing, or if I ask you, like, hey, what's going on with the kids? How are the kids doing, right? We rattle off the things. Or this is what my, you know, oldest is doing. This is what my middle child's doing. This is what is going on. This is what my family's into, right? But the second, and maybe not for all of us, but for some of us, if we were to ask, tell me what's going on in your prayer life. What's God speaking to you right now? What has God been speaking to you? That gets a little bit more dicey. That gets a little bit harder, right? Especially if we haven't spent intentional time in our prayer closet with God. We actually haven't taken time, right? So we take something like work, which we all need to work. We all should work, right? We take something like family, which is equally, not equally, but is very important, right? And we're able to rattle off all the things happening in that world because it's our focus. And I'm not the first person to say this, nor will I be the last person to say this, but we really need to make sure we need to stop doing this. We need to stop adding Jesus to our life and let Jesus be the center and adding everything else to our lives. And that involves prayer, and you hear my heart as I say this, right? I'm pointing right back to me, like this is the challenge in my life as well. Is how do I make sure that all the things that I'm doing, even though a majority of stuff that I'm doing is for God, is for God's people, is ministering to the saints, but even that I can get lost in. Yeah, I'm doing all this stuff, but I actually haven't got close to the one that I'm doing it for. And this for me, and that really burdens my heart, is that knowing that I could be doing so many things in the name of God, but actually miss him in it. And that breaks my heart. So I want to talk about three areas for a more successful prayer life. Now, not limited to this. There's definitely more than this. This is what I felt like God put on my heart. So three areas for a more successful prayer life surrounding the heart. So the first one is a conditioned heart. Is your heart conditioned in prayer? Okay, so my son here, Caden, he's an athlete, and he plays basketball, and they practice, you know, 5 days a week. He had a game Friday night. They traveled all day and got back at like midnight, and then the next day had another game. And before the game, earlier in that morning, they did a shoot around, and so there was quite a bit happening. But here's the thing: because him and his teammates, they practice, they're pretty conditioned for the game. And so when they get in the game, not to say they don't get tired, they do, but they're way better off because they've conditioned themselves throughout the week to go into the game. Now, someone that isn't doing that, like a 39-year-old Bible teacher who decides, hey, I don't have anything going on fourth period. I'm going to walk by the gym and see a bunch of freshmen playing basketball. Why not? I have 50 minutes to pass, right? And I do that. That's not conditioned, right? I'm not in the gym running laps and doing plays and whatnot, but I'm out there having fun. However, we get done with those 50 minutes. Those kids go on with their life like nothing ever happened. And I have now 3 hours left of work and feel like I need to take a nap. And I'm sweaty, and I'm like, why did I do that? My back hurts, my knees hurt, everything hurts because I'm not conditioned. So is your heart conditioned in prayer? Right? Again, if how do you know if it's conditioned? Well, when you pray, are you feeling distracted? Now, I'll be the first to say, when I pray, like, yeah, there are times I feel distracted. I heard a pastor say that sometimes when you're praying and you feel like, oh, that thing pops in your mind, just get a notebook out, get out your phone, just write it down real quick. Because that happens all the time to me, right? I'm praying like, oh, I forgot, I got to do that thing tomorrow, or I need to make sure I pack that thing, or whatever the thing is, right? But is your heart distracted, right? Are you able to focus on what you're praying for, able to focus even for a few minutes? This is the challenge that we challenge our youth all the time. We tell them it's not about like this large quantity of time of prayer. It's about the quality. So even if you just do a minute, just set a timer and pray, right? We have to start somewhere. In Matthew 13, Jesus was being asked by his disciples why he spoke in parables. And it says, in them is filled the prophecy of Isaiah. This is Jesus talking. You will be ever hearing, but never understanding. You'll be ever seeing, but never perceiving. For this people's heart has been callous. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn, and I would heal them. So have you prepared a place in your heart to receive what God has for you through prayer? Is there a place prepared? Is your heart conditioned to receive whatever it is God wants to speak through you? The second portion of this is this: a postured heart. We need a postured heart. We've probably heard this time and time before. Fix your posture, right? Don't sit like that, right? Right, I'm the worst at it as well. I lean back in my chair, I slouch in my chair. Right, but fix your posture. Do you have the right posture? A heart that is postured towards God is facing towards God. A heart that is postured towards Him is facing Him. That's good. Yeah. In Luke 24:30, this is after Jesus went to the cross, and after He was risen again. And there's a bunch of stuff that I'm not going to read, but basically Jesus appears to a few of the disciples and they don't recognize Him because he makes it that way. And He actually walks with them and they invite Him to come eat, and not knowing that it's Jesus. And it says this in verse 30, it says, when He was at the table with them, Him being Jesus, He took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened and they recognized Him, and He disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, were not our hearts burning within us while He talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us? Position your heart in such a way that it's after what God's after. When your heart is postured, when your heart is postured towards not your flesh and not towards your own desires, but towards God, you begin to see what God wants to do in your life. And I feel like for a moment too, I need to talk about this, that if there is offense in your heart, it becomes really difficult to posture your heart towards God. Because what I've learned in my own experience is that it doesn't matter what I'm going to pray for. When there's offense in my heart, God, most of the time, 99% of the time, God is going to put that offense in front of me first. Great. You want to pray for revival in your city? Awesome. Let's talk about this offense you have with this person first. Oh, you want to pray for healing for so-and-so's body? Great. Let's talk about this offense first. Let's deal with that first. So offense in our heart is not something little that we should just bat an eye at, that we should just be like, oh, it's not that big a deal. I'm offended. We actually need to take care of that thing, because God's heart for you guys is, and for all of us, for God's people, is not that we would walk this life saying, yay, Jesus, but I hate this person. Yeah, I worship God, and I love coming to him and praying to him and singing these songs. Also, I wish this person never existed, or these people never existed. And this is a real thing, and it's an unfortunate thing. But I really feel like I was led to say that God wants to deal with offense. And I'm not going to pretend like it's easy. I'm not going to pretend like it's something that we need to, that we can just like wash away real quick. And even sometimes it doesn't take one prayer moment. It may take 5 prayer moments. It may take 10 prayer moments. It may take 100 prayer moments before you're like, okay, now that offense isn't there anymore. Does it make the offense right? Does it make what the person did was right? I want to make sure I note that as well. However, forgiveness is freely given. Trust is a different thing, but that's a whole other sermon. So the third part I want to talk about in regards to your heart is having an open heart. We can't say we want God's will without an open heart. When you pray, God may reveal something you don't like. Are you ready for that? Like offense. When you pray, God may bring up something and say, hey, as you're praying for this, let's talk about how you spoke to that person. Or as you're praying for this, let's talk about how you are thinking, what's your thought life like. Which you talk about, and it's these things, and it's not always fun, but it's not always supposed to be fun. Having a relationship with God, though, he's a loving father, and he corrects those he loves, and he's gonna come in, and sometimes it's gonna be, hey, we need to handle this. Because the goal is that we're to be perfect like Christ is perfect. Amen. Are we gonna obtain that? Unfortunately, no, we're not. But that doesn't give us an excuse to not handle the things that God is convicting us of, that Holy Spirit is convicting us of. And I think that something that has been kind of lost, I don't want to make such a grand statement, lost on the church, but I definitely feel like something that's been lost a little bit is prayer with conviction. Is prayer in such a way where there's like a burden in your heart, and you're convicted by the things that maybe the rest of the world isn't convicted by. But being open, having an open heart for God to come in and say, that thing right there we need to deal with. I'm not ready to deal with that right now, God. Okay, I've suppressed that thing for 5 years and I needed to stay there. Right. But until we deal with that thing, we can't get freedom for you. So I need to have an open heart to that. So I talked about offense a moment ago, and in my own life, there's been many a times where God has challenged me in my prayer life to pray for those that may have wronged me, that may have hurt me, that may have hurt my family, and that's a really tough thing to do. I can forgive, but we can't keep pretending that when we say forgiveness, it doesn't still sting, right? Can we just be real for a second? I forgive you. Also, it still stings. There's still something there. That's just human nature. Now, when you walk in forgiveness, that sting slowly but surely goes away because you're walking through process, right? You got to walk through process. God loves process. But there's been plenty of times where God has said, hey, those people, I need you to lift them up in prayer. God, send somebody else to lift them up in prayer because I don't want to pray for them, right? But God, because he loves everybody, even the most annoying person you can think of right now, he loves them, right? He cares for them. The same blood that was shed on the cross for you and I in this room was shed for them. And that's the reality that we have to think is how does Jesus see them? Well, the only way you're going to get that is forgiving, is taking care of that offense, and also through prayer. God, how do you see them? If I have an open heart, I'm able to do that. If I have a heart that is ready to receive through openness, I'm able to see how God wants to see them and how they need prayer. An open heart allows you to draw. An open heart allows you to be drawn to what he's drawn to. And I don't know about you guys, but a goal of mine is to be drawn to where he's drawn to. Eric Lopez, I have vision. I have plans. I have things I want to do. I can go do that. And again, the scary thing is I can go do that and leave God completely behind. And I don't want to do that. So I want to make sure that in my prayer life, in my life with God, that I am partnering, okay, this is what I want to do. These are the things I want to do, and be having an open heart for allowing God to come in and say, okay, great. This is what I want to do. And some of it matches what you want to do. Some of it, not so much. Either way, I'm going to do what he wants to do. The only way I get there is if my heart is open because I'm drawn to what he's drawn to at that point. Psalms 139:23 says this, search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. This is a scary prayer. This is a scary prayer. Search me, God. Search me, God. Some of us don't even want people to look at our search history on the internet. But we're saying, God, search me. God, open me up and search and see if there's any offensive way. See if there's anything that is not of you. Know my heart. The only one of us that actually knows our heart is, well, obviously God, but ourselves, right? A lot, it's not beyond us to fool those around us so we can look the part. Know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Some of us deal with anxious thoughts a lot. Some of us not so much, but either way, there's anxiety in the room. So know my anxious thoughts. See if there's any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. When my heart is open to him in prayer, I'm closed off to every other influence. So let me rattle these off real quick again, the three. A conditioned heart. Making sure that our heart is conditioned in prayer. Making sure that our heart is ready to receive what it is that God has for us. And actually exercising that muscle, if you will. A postured heart. Make sure our heart is postured towards our Father. Make sure our heart is postured towards what he wants and not what we want. And an open heart. Making sure that our heart is open to receiving what God has for us, even when we don't like it. So again, a heart of prayer comes from consistency, grit, and endurance. You can't just muster up a heart of prayer, and you must be diligent in your time with the Lord. There must be, if I can plead with you anything, can we be people of God that are diligent in our time with the Lord? Working with youth, I see it's no secret, right? They're addicted to their phones. They're addicted to online. We see it. We know it. And what I'm also seeing, though, unfortunately, is that adults, we're not too far off. If we could just be real, we're not too far off. And so we're so diligent in certain things. There's this thing that this is where I start to feel like I'm an old guy. because there's just things I don't understand. But there's this app, some of you know about it. It's called Snapchat, and there's these things called streaks. And God forbid these kids miss. For those of you who are looking at me confused, let me explain real quick. All it is taking a picture of anything, the ceiling, the floor, the side of your face, and sending it to somebody. But you don't miss a day, so you have a streak. Okay? You guys with me? Okay. And I've seen students who will get grounded from their phone, or something will happen where they're not with their phone, and they will find their friend and say, I need your phone so I can log in so I don't miss my streaks. Or, hey friend, can you log in so you can do my streak for me? They are diligent in the wrong thing. They are diligent, but in the wrong thing. Can we be diligent in our time with God? Imagine if we took that same energy. Imagine if a young generation, and I know I'm not speaking to youth specifically right now, but that if we could take that same energy to be diligent in missing and not missing a day where we send a picture of the ceiling to our friend, and we say, I'm not going to miss a day where I spend time with the Lord. Good. Whether it's I'm in it for a minute or a minute for 30 minutes or whatever it is, I'm not going to miss a day. The Bible app has streaks, actually. You must be diligent in your time with the Lord. Stop making excuses for why you don't pray and just make time to pray. To quote Ian Bounds one last time, he says, he who is too busy to pray will be too busy to live a holy life. Satan had rather we let the grass grow on the path to our prayer chamber than anything else. I want to encourage you, but also challenge you, the body of Christ, to not just like the idea of prayer, but to cherish, value, and prioritize our time with Father God. I pray all of our hearts are stirred today, stirred to pray a little longer, stirred to pray a little harder, and with a little bit more heart. Let us, the local church, make Christians who pray normal again. Amen? So let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for who you are. I pray, Jesus, that you would just be with us, Lord, as we leave this place, God. I pray, God, that we would be stirred up, God, to find you, Lord, in all that we do. God, I thank you, Lord, for this time that we get to gather. And God, I ask that we would be people who take prayer seriously, Lord, not people who just talk about prayer, who just know about prayer, who know how to pray, but people who actually pray. God, let this heart, let this house be filled with families and individuals who are going to go after prayer. God, I thank you so much for you allowing time, you allowing us to take time to be with you, that you are able and willing to be with us. God, let our hearts burn. Let our hearts burn to spend time with you. Let our hearts burn to be in your presence, God. Let our hearts burn to take that intentional time and just talk with you and hear your voice. We thank you, Father. We thank you, Father, that you desire to be with your children. You desire to hang out with us. And I just ask today, God, that these hearts, Lord, would be prepared to receive whatever it is you have for them in and through prayer. And I pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
I open up my heart to my heart.
peace that surpasses all understanding. God, let us continue to live this life for you. God, I pray, Lord, for anyone in here, God, who may be struggling, they need a touch from heaven right now, God. I pray you just meet them right where they are, God. God, I thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you, Lord, for just your love in this place, God. God, as we go this week, God, and we spend time with our families, we prepare, God, to open up gifts and do all the holiday stuff, God, that we would continue to make you the center. You the center of everything that we do, God. God, I thank you so much just for this place, and pray you continue to bless this house, God. Bless us as we leave this place, Jesus. Let us not leave what we learned here, gained here at the church. Let us be the church everywhere we go. I pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You guys have a great week. We'll see you guys Wednesday.